Greetings from the Candy Colored Studio, where life is sweeter in candy color. I'm oil painter Katrina Berg, and I'm so glad you're here. I'll be chatting with you from my Midway, Utah home, serving up a palette of support, hope, and love with a side of realness. As a mother of five, including five-year-old twins, I know too well that life is rarely easy and jolly, but savoring the sweet moments gives us the strength we need to find peace, growth, and fulfillment along our journey. Again, so happy you're here and welcome.
I'm getting on a podcast, so don't make noise.
Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. So happy March to everyone. We are almost to spring. I'm feeling it a little bit as I look around me. We've been listening to the sandhill cranes and spotting them in the fields, and that's always the happiest of signs to me that spring is on its way, and change and rebirth and all those exciting things. I've been thinking a lot about motherhood, being a mother artist. I do these club calls with my members of the Candy Club, and they're just one-on-one, and they come and send me topics or specific questions, pain points in their business. And one of the most beautiful artists in the group, she was talking to me about being a mother artist and just, being intimidated by being a mother and an artist at the same time. And it's interesting because I think that this is something that I'm constantly trying to figure out how to do both. And it doesn't necessarily go away, but I think that it's a cause worth fighting for, obviously. Obviously, I think that. But and then also, we've been talking with our club this month about getting into our flow, or what is it like? What's a good workflow for artists? How can we tweak it to make it, make our whole process better? And so with all of these things in mind, I thought it would be really good to talk just about being a mother artist, and just that fact that I'm constantly trying to reestablish the flow. So just to jump into there, I noticed early on, before I even started calling myself a professional artist, I just always knew that I loved making things and creating things. And as pretty much even before I got pregnant with our oldest, I realized that I found a lot of comfort in doodling and creating and drawing. And then right when I became pregnant with him, I started painting a little bit more. And so really, I didn't even paint in oils till our oldest was born. And so I consider motherhood and my oil painting kind of this parallel journey. And so it's been really, really a joyful process. And obviously there's been challenges, but I consider them, it's something that I've always had this parallel journey. And that's been really amazing to consider. But again, I found that when my oldest was really little, I needed, for my own sanity's sake, I needed to create while he was sleeping. Usually at night when he would go to bed, I'd have some quiet time, and Carl would be watching, the latest game, and I would be painting at the kitchen table. And that just was some of my favorite quiet evenings that we would spend together. And then, of course, it changed. We had more kids and more responsibilities, more things happening for him at work and me at home. And, there's always these different things. But I knew that painting for me helped me find joy amidst the hard and unsavory. And that's obviously why I call it the Candy Colored Studio, because I know that life isn't always rainbows and unicorns and all the fun taffy candy. But at the same time, I need to focus on those so that I can try to figure out how to best meander through the unsavory moments, which are just part of life. So I also know about myself that I love doing projects. I'm a really project-based learner and also performer. I don't know. I'm sure there's some scientific things to back this up. But it's interesting, when I was first starting to paint and exhibit my work, a gallery owner, we became friends, and she told me that, she was so impressed that I was prolific. And I didn't even know what that meant. I mean, sometimes you hear words and you kind of know the general idea, but I had to go home and really understand what she was saying. But basically, I think that what I realized, I didn't necessarily consider myself a prolific painter, but I was committed. I was committed to the fact that I needed to paint every day, and I knew that it was good for my soul. And so it's true, I did become a rather prolific painter. And I wasn't really afraid of things being a mess or not perfect. I just knew I needed to jump in and start creating. And I was committed. I was committed to that practice. So the biggest thing that I learned was that really I could, if I would focus and really plan out things, I basically in the moments where my kids were, we were busy in the morning, you know, we were doing laundry and cleaning the house and going on walks and doing preschool and whatever it was that we were doing when they were little, playing with friends, going on bike rides, you know, all those things would happen in the morning. And then after lunch, there was nap time, or I would let them watch some TV for a couple hours. And that was my studio time. And I realized that I could get a lot done during those 2 hours. And so because it was really just a two and a half hour block, I just really treated it very sacredly. So while I was washing dishes or folding laundry, I was thinking and planning in my mind what was going to happen during that sacred 2 hours. So that's indeed what would happen, is everything would be planned out. And as soon as I would head into my studio or to the kitchen table, whatever it was at the time, I would have everything. I would know what I was working on. I would know what portion of that painting I was working on, or the series or whatever. I would ignore my phone, my Gmail, you know, all my messaging tools. I didn't have any notifications on, and I had a friend actually tease me once because my sounds would all be off when I was in the studio. And I remember her, you know, kind of chastising me for that. But I needed to set aside that time for me. And I think that most of us need to have some time that is just for us. And for me, it was the time I could get work done, but I also knew that that was a replenishing of my soul and spirit. And so I think that it's okay to have that time. It's also important to make sure that time is not when people might need you, and my friend needed me at that moment. But anyways, I realized that having that plan and being very, very guarded and having heavy boundaries around those two and a half hour block, I could see some really great things happening. So I started doing lots of different things, but I met with other local artists, and at one point we even had an online gallery, and you can hear more about it in one of my previous episodes. I'll try to link it in the show notes, but I had these amazing friends, and they were all quite a bit older than I. Most of them were retired, or their parents, or excuse me, they were empty nesters. Their kids were all grown up, and so I had these amazing friends, and they were artists too. And I remember we were meeting at my house one day, and we were doing a critique, and I remember one of the women just basically said, "I cannot believe how much you get done with all your small children." And she says, "I sit down and I stress about this and that." And what we realized as we talked as a group is that many of them were having the same problem. Now that they were retired or the kids were out of the house, they had all day to work on their art. And yet it was really easy to get pulled away into their messaging or their notifications. It was also really easy to stress too much about things instead of making a choice and just going for it. And they would spend too long on certain portions of their piece, or, you know, certain paintings would take a lot longer because they had that time. Whereas for me, I had this very short amount of time that I could work. And so I treated my practice a little bit differently. And so it was interesting that we decided as a group that I was actually accomplishing more in that two and a half hour block than they were accomplishing with like 8 to 10 hours in their work practice that day. And that was really fascinating. It was fascinating to talk about it and to kind of find a way for them to be able to just really focus on short groups, you know, these short blocks. And it's interesting because now that my older kids, well, all of my kids went to school full-time last year. And it's funny because even now my oldest, he'll be like, "We're gone for like 6 hours. How come you haven't been able to paint yet? Like, why are you struggling today?" And is the hard thing is that sometimes, even though they're at school, there's so many other things that need to happen. But what I've realized that is that for me personally, I'm still kind of that sleeping painter. Like, I wait till nap time, or I wait till people are asleep. And even more than that, I realize that I really need to take like two and a half hour blocks and get as much done as possible. So there's definitely been seasons where it has been consistent. Like when my kids were little, I painted during their nap time and bedtimes, you know, but I knew that time would be short. And so again, I was very, very careful. And then other times in my life, it's been more of a sneak it in wherever possible approach. And now that I've got two in high school and our third is going to be a teenager here in a couple months, I feel like, you know, it really is that kind of sneaking in wherever possible. But I really try to get like that 2-2.5 hour block, you know, if I can. That is just ideal for me because I love to just be able to focus and really dive in and get the flow moving, I guess. But there are days when I devote that 2.5 hour block to our candy club, others to my podcast, others to marketing and coordinating for shows and commissions. Sometimes I spend that whole block doing photography, updating my website, cleaning my studio, designing and packaging new products, shipping. The list goes on and on. And some days I scrap it all to care for sick family members or myself. Sometimes to mourn the loss of a friend, to research health or world topics, to teach my older kids how to drive, interact with my Sunday school teens, drive out of state for my daughter's dance competition, or help her with baking. Again, the list goes on and on. And I would bet that many of your days or moments look just as crazy and varied as mine. But through it all, I do find comfort in that block. I also find comfort in a to-do list. And then also, I make sure to enlist my family for help. Make sure everybody is, you know, has some ways that they can help around the house. And then also, we're constantly changing our systems just in the house, depending on their age and their schedules and what they can do. And so we're constantly refining, simplifying our family systems. And then also my art system. I feel like my art system is also changing quite a bit. And a lot of that just has to do with their schedule and when I can actually fit in those blocks of time and really jump into painting. I feel like it's a constant revamp and reassessment. And I never know how long that next groove is going to last before we get back to the drawing board. And that's the case with both our family systems and my art systems. As I talked with my dear friend in the club, I basically told her that a lot of things, I remember feeling like when I was pregnant with our oldest, I was working full time and I remember some people had given me some, like basically some baby books or parenting books, you know, right as I was pregnant with our oldest. And I remember feeling guilty because I hadn't read enough before he was born. And I remember Carl Wisely said, you could read every parenting book available and still not be ready for him. And then also what we learned as time went on is that our kids are so different that it's really hard to write a book that fits all the needs and all the personalities and all the children. And so a lot of it just takes, it just takes timing. And sometimes I think you come across a book at the perfect time and it fits the exact situation that you're facing and it's super helpful. And sometimes it's good to just constantly be on the lookout for things like that. I remember not too long ago, someone that I love basically explained that they wanted to move home so that they wouldn't have to worry about finance anymore. They didn't want to worry about, you know, their finances. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is like, it sounds dreamy and wonderful. But the truth is that when we're adults, like that's just part of adulting, like forever, we're going to be constantly making sure that we know what's going on with our finances. And so I think it's the same thing with parenting. You know, I think that we have this opportunity to learn and grow together as parents and children. And that just seems to seep into my art studio. And I may never feel ready and I might need a break from time to time, but it just won't last long because that's just part of life. And again, I just feel like, you know, change is one of those things that is truly the only thing that's constant in our life. And so just trying to take the next version of whatever life seems to be like with everyone at the stages that they're at. So I've mentioned before that Jordan Peterson is really one of those people that I admire some of the things that he shares. And he basically said something like this idea that because sometimes we just can't envision what we could be, instead we leave room for failure so that we won't be disappointed with ourselves. And I think that that is very powerful. And again, for me, it's like I would rather fail than miss out on something that could be really, really great. And so I think that that is something to look for and just to be aware of. Are we leaving room for failure? Are we trying to protect ourselves? And what are we missing out on because of it? Another powerful thing that Jordan Peterson has shown, shared is this idea that it's useful to compare ourselves to other, but only to a certain extent, because eventually you can't compare yourself to anyone else because there's no one like you. And so you get to this point where the only person that you really can compare yourself to is yourself, and that we have to look where we were last year, last month, 10 years ago, and then take that and help it to move us forward. So again, it's so important not to compare ourselves to others, but instead to say, okay, what worked really well 6 months ago, last month, 10 years ago? How can I get back into that groove? Now, there are so many, we could talk about this for a really long time, but there are a few other episodes that I've done about our studio system and then also our home system. And so I'll just mention those and I'll link to them in the show notes. The first one would be episode number 4 is What I Give Up to Paint. And that episode is all about how no matter what it is, whether we are a friend, a mother, a neighbor, whether we have careers, passions, whatever it is, there's only 24 hours in the day. And so sometimes in order to pursue those projects or passions that we really feel like our heart is pushing us to achieve that moment or to focus on, we have to give up some things. And so sometimes that means reassessing what we're doing. Maybe we have to prioritize things differently. Sometimes we have to give things up. That could be a permanent thing that we give up on things. And sometimes it's just temporary until we can kind of, fit it all in again. That's episode number 4. And then episode number 6, we kind of dive into our family system. And I talk about how the kiddos help me in the studio, that they're my studio assistants, and then also talks a little bit more about that realm. And then episode number 9 is basically creating space for your passions, making sure that you have places to for your projects and these dreams that you're trying to go after, because then it's easier to be efficient. There's so many good things that happen when we basically invest in ourselves. So there's a bunch of ideas for you. I can't stress enough how grateful I am for this journey. I'm so grateful to be a mother and to be an artist and be able to have this parallel journey that intertwines and obviously influences each other. And I feel like it's been such a gift to be able to pursue my passions while I'm a mother, and also to allow my kids to realize that it is a gift that they get to pursue their passions too, and that we have this opportunity to, give and take so that everyone can go after things that they really enjoy. Again, I would definitely say that I recommend doing the things that you really love doing. And sometimes it's worth giving up things so that you can make those things happen. So wherever it is that you are in your journey and your passions, whether it's that you're trying to figure out how to be a better mom and artist, or a neighbor and a friend while working full-time and going after different passions, whether you're trying to heal, whether you're trying to share and teach and educate others around you and be the teacher that they really need in their lives, whatever it is, I know that when it comes down to it, that our heavenly parents and our Savior are there to help us become the best that we can be and to really help refine us so that we can be our best selves. And just know that you're loved. Know that I have complete confidence in you, and that I know that there are great things just waiting around the corner for each of us to tackle if only we just have enough faith in ourselves and faith in our heavenly parents and Savior. And just want to send lots of love to you today from the Candy Colored Studio.